The Board of Supervisors is now in session. Would everyone please rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have any changes to the agenda, please?
You have a couple of changes to today's agenda. Under closed session, under pending litigation, you have two added items, DFS Flooring versus Kojima Construction, County of San Luis Obispo et al., and number 10, Tosco Corporation versus County of San Luis Obispo. Under the consent agenda, you have an added item, item B31, request to approve a budget adjustment to appropriate $2,596,870 from fiscal year 0405 contingencies and allocate the same amount to the fiscal year 0405 budget for the Sheriff's Corner. The adjustment is for 18 months of retroactive pay for the Sheriff Coroner staff resulting from the recently approved labor cost increases for the Deputy Sheriff's Association. A 4/5 vote is required. Recommend approval and instruct the chairperson to sign. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. And under consent agenda, item B3 is amended. That's a request by the Private Industry Council to appoint and reappoint members to the Workforce Investment Board, WIB. Recommend approval. Staff is requesting that the staff report for this item be replaced, correcting the terms and adding information about the members. The amended staff report is attached for your approval. That's all your changes for today.
Thank you very much. With that, we will move on to the presentation calendar. We have a motion to approve.
Approval.
Second.
Will we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. Mr. Linthal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Probably the best part of my job is when I get to do things like this today. I've got a resolution recognizing Highway Patrol Officer Greg De La Cruz, Jr. for a life-saving effort. And, Greg, if you'd like to step forward and stand up by the podium. To me, there's probably no greater privilege in life than having the opportunity to save the life of another person. And when you realize that this is not a person that's in your family, this is not someone you know, you do this in the course of your duty in, day out, makes it any more special. Therefore, the following resolution is proposed. Whereas on April 29, 2005, Officer Greg De La Cruz, Jr. was working speed enforcement on State Route 41 outside the city of Morro Bay when a passing motorist informed him of a possible medical emergency, and Officer De La Cruz responded and located an unresponsive female in her vehicle. Officer De La Cruz immediately recognized the woman was not breathing and performed the Heimlich maneuver, whereas after several attempts, Officer Greg De La Cruz successfully cleared her blocked airway and she began to breathe. He activated EMS, and the woman again lapsed into unconsciousness. He maintained an open airway and monitored her vital signs until paramedics could arrive. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby recognize CHP Officer Greg De La Cruz, Jr. for his composure and quick actions in saving the life of this woman, and does hereby commend Officer De La Cruz for his heroic efforts in this life-saving event. Greg, would you step forward, please?
What do we have? A whole.
Looks like the paparazzi out there, huh?
No, the one doesn't. It looks like a board assistant.
Wait.
Well, what's she been doing back
there? Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Greg. Do you want to say a word or two?
Gosh, I'm speechless. Thank you for the acknowledgement to the board. I was out there by myself. I thank goodness that dispatch didn't panic when I was panicking. And thank goodness that San Luis Ambulance arrived so quickly. So I'd like to acknowledge the dispatcher and San Luis Ambulance and Morro Bay Fire Department also. They did a wonderful job. That's it.
But
thank you.
Thank you so much.
You were the first there, and it was in my district, so thank you very, very much, in case it ever happens to me. With that, we will move on to the consent agenda. I have... public comment is actually what I meant, because that's what I have on my hand. The first person, I'll open it to the public, the first person to speak is Jesse Arnold. You have 3 minutes, and the next person is Ira Alpert, and if you'll go to that microphone, and you'll notice that this is for the general, I know you know, but this is for the general public. We now have little timer clocks on the podium. And so there's no excuse for going over your 3 minutes. But I also have it up here, so I'll remind you in case you forget. Jesse.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Bianchi and members of the board. My name is Jesse Arnold. I live in Cambria. I grow corn in Cambria. And I'm one of 49,000-plus people in this county who doesn't want genetically engineered food. The topic this morning is I'm here to ask you to oppose the Flores bill before the state legislature. Dean Flores, a Democratic senator from Shafter, has introduced a bill to preempt the ability of counties to regulate genetically engineered crops. And the California Association of Counties has voted to oppose this bill, and I hope you will join them in that effort. I would like to read a little from the article. There's an article in the July 13th Tribune on this subject, and I'd like to read some excerpts from the article. As you know, Mendocino, Marin, and Trinity counties have passed laws banning the use of genetically altered seeds. Voters in Humboldt, San Luis Obispo, and Butte counties rejected similar ballot measures. Residents of Sonoma County are set to vote on a similar ban this November. And Flores is calling for a special assembly ag committee hearing on his proposed state bill next month. Opponents said the measure would undercut voters in counties that passed anti-biotech laws last year, even though those counties have no biotech crops. We see this as a violation of local democracies, said Renata Brillinger, director of Californians for a GE-free agriculture. And that's how I see it, too. It's taking away our local control. Some farmers are worried about the potential effects of introducing genetically altered crops into the food supply and the environment. They insist those impacts haven't been adequately studied. And that's me, too. It's a reckless approach to handling agriculture and the ecosystem, said Peter Martinelli, an organic farmer in Marin County. Why are we willing to risk the natural biology of plant species with these frankenseeds? The League of California Cities and the California State Association of Counties oppose the Flores bill. The language of the bill preempts us from placing any restriction on field crops, said Karen Keene, a legislative representative for the Association of Counties. It goes beyond the biotech issue. Joseph Mendelson, legal director of the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Food Safety, said the debate over genetically engineered food is occurring in states, counties, and cities because there is a lack of federal oversight on the issue. So, again, I'm asking you to please oppose the Flores bill on the state legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. We'll have to look at that and then put it on a future agenda.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we decide to put it on the agenda. Okay. Ira Alpert, followed by Yvonne Gresser.
Hi. Good morning. Ira Alpert, appearing today as president of Woods Humane Society. Yvonne is our development and campaign director. Actually, I've decided to title my presentation today, a congratulations on the County Board of Supervisors' business acumen, and some of this you really won't know about. In 1989, the county bought from the Woods organization the current property near the airport at 1989 fair market value rates. Later today, you will be at least looking at a bid that will tear down our old shelter, and you will be using the property for... all the years between 1989 and today, you've got rent on it. Now you're going to see it, and you've made yourself even a better deal for the future. We're in the process of moving into our new shelter. It's on county property right next to Animal Services, which will be very convenient for everyone to go from one to the other to see if they can find the best possible pet for themselves. But we have agreed in that memorandum of understanding to take over 300 county cats and dogs each year and try to adopt them out. That will cost us somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 extra money, which we will raise and spend. And that's pretty good rent on 4 acres of land. You've gone up from about $900 a month, I think, because I sign the checks once in a while, to $10,000 to $12,000 a month. You've done a really good job, and we will be working with you. Part of the success we've been able to achieve in this last year is that we've worked closely with Animal Services and voluntarily taken over 100 dogs, and that's enabled the county to be able to have the no-kill status of adoptable animals that we're all so proud of. I don't want to take all my time. I'll turn the podium over to Yvonne.
Well, Yvonne also has 3 minutes.
I know, but, well,
okay.
It's okay.
Thank you.
I reserve my 1 minute for some future time.
Okay. Yvonne Gresser, followed by Michael Wynn.
Madam Chairperson and board members, I want to thank you and other individuals in San Luis Obispo County on behalf of Woods Humane Society. We did what seemed like an awfully large task 2.5 years ago to raise $3 million to build a new animal shelter. And some people said perhaps that it couldn't be done. I know it's been an endeavor that the society has been working on for over 2 decades. But if you think about Woods' humble beginnings, they started out on a farm in Napomo in 1955. They were awarded the animal services contract and moved to the airport property in 1959 to build and be more centrally located. They have continually served San Luis Obispo County and surrounding towns for over 50 years, rescuing homeless animals. The statistics available to me through our storage have gone back to 1993, where we've rescued more than 14,000 companion animals and rehomed them into new homes in the community. And we thank everyone not only for their generous support in terms of financial, but also for adopting these animals and providing new permanent homes for them. There's very few people that you come across in this county that haven't either had an animal through Woods or know of someone that has, and we really appreciate everything that the county and the community has done to make this possible. We're well on our way. We're opening up a new animal shelter August 1st. We're still raising funds to complete the facility so we have a full-service Humane Society. So you probably haven't seen The Last of Us on TV or in the paper, but we hope to have that completed within the next year as our goal so that we can begin offering educational programs and even work more closely with the county. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Michael Wynn, and then that's my last request to speak form. So if anyone else wishes to address the board on any item not on the agenda for the day, please fill out a form and bring it forward. Mr. Wynn.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is Mike Wynn. I'm from Napomo, and I'm here today to talk to you about 2 topics, briefly. The first, in the environmental review document notations that are appended to your agenda today, but they're not formally a part of the agenda, I have a single question on the Rio Grande Area Public Works proposal to realign Halcyon Road and Highway 1. And although I'm familiar with the design, I'm curious about the funding of this. Napomo has good reason to be concerned because Traffic Impact Area Number 2 had monies taken and spent in Rio Grande here 4 years ago based on a questionable traffic study. We would like to make sure that it's done more rigorously this time. So we ask you, at some time, we hope that the funding for that can be a public document, too. Secondly, as a member of the majority in the county who voted to continue to allow agriculture to use modern technologies and to use genetics and other science as a way of increasing food yield and quality, I encourage you to agendize the a discussion of the Flores Bill. And I would urge you to support it. It's very difficult in the state of California to treat each locale as though it's an independent thing. Agriculture spills over into several counties, and to turn the whole state into a patchwork quilt of competing rules and regulations would make things very difficult. And maybe Mr. Flores' plan is not ideal in every respect. It may be improvable, but certainly to have a single playing field for everybody in the state would be rational policy, and I encourage you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was my last, as I said, last request to speak form on public comment. So with that, I will close it to the public. And we are now at the consent agenda. I have some request to speak forms on the consent agenda. The first is George Rosenberger. Well, actually the only. So if anybody else wishes to speak, please.
Good morning, members of the board. George Rosenberger, County General Services, here to have a few comments on B11, which is submittal of a bid opening report for the paving of the southeast side of San Luis Obispo County Regional Airport. And this follows on with some of Ira's comments from Woods Humane Society. I couldn't let this amazing timing of events go unnoticed from the consent agenda. As Ira said, in June of 1989, which was a little over 16 years ago, the county airport purchased the Humane Society property on Highway 227 adjacent to the airport for clear zone purposes. Woods had an initial five-year lease back in lieu of relocation, and until they found an adequate replacement location for their facilities. And through no lack of effort on their part, a search for a new site became involved and portrayed, and fortunately, the county's airport needs at that time did not require their vacation from that site. In December of 2001, the county entered into a long-term lease and related operational agreement, which is a memorandum of understanding with Woods Humane Society to locate adjacent to animal services on Highway 1 on a 4.3-acre site. Woods has now built a modern, state-of-the-art facility at that location and is in the process of becoming fully operational. On today's agenda, Consent Item B11 recommends award of a construction contract, which in part demolishes the Woods facilities adjacent to the airport. And as timing would have it, the airport is just now ready to develop on that portion of the airport. Whoever said timing is everything. I would like to thank Woods for being such a good neighbor for all the years out at the airport, because barking dogs really don't complain too much about noisy aircraft. And the county looks forward to many years as a good neighbor and having a cooperative agreement at their new location adjacent to Animal Services on Highway 1. Thank you.
Thank you. That's my only request to speak form on the consent agenda. I see no one coming forward, so I will close it to the public, bring it back to the board. Mr. Ovett, do you have any items you would like to pull?
I have none, Madam Chair.
Mr. Patterson?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Lenthal?
No, Madam Chair.
And Mr. Ashajian?
And if you have none, I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
I have none. Is there a second?
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ashajian?
Aye.
Mr. Ovett?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. I just had one comment, and that is that we recently obtained a new dog, which we have to name something besides new dog, from Animal Control, actually, not from Woods. But I would encourage anyone who would like a good pet to...
You can call him George.
Go there. No, actually, we sort of named it after another dog who died of old age, and we just call it Z2, you know. So instead of Z1, it's Z2.
Doesn't BMW have a trademark on that?
No. we're going to patent the name. The next one will be Z3. With that, we will move on to the first hearing item, item C1.
Item C1 is a hearing to consider a resolution to collect delinquent service charges for County Service Area Number 16, Shandon Water Service, County Service Area Number 23, Santa Margarita Water Service, and County Service Area Number 18, San Luis Obispo Country Club Sewer Waste Disposal, I don't think it's waster, on the 2005-2006 County Property Tax Bills, 1st, 4th, and 5th Districts. This item was introduced on June 7, 2005. Recommendation is for approval and instruct the chairperson to sign.
Yes, may we have a staff report, please?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honorable Board.
For the record, my name is Straith Smith Sinartu with the County Public Works Department. This item is a routine annual process to place county service area delinquent service charges on the tax roll. The Public Works Department is recommending that your board adopt a resolution which authorizes these delinquent county service area service charges for water and sewer to be collected on the tax roll. These delinquencies represent a percentage of total annual water and sewer revenues as follows. County service area 16 and 18, less than 0.5%, and county service area 23, less than 2%. The property owners subject to this collection method were notified by mail on May 9, 2005, and were given the opportunity to pay the amount owed. All required public notices have been met. This concludes my staff report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Are there any questions of staff? I see no lights, so with that, I will open it to the public. I have no request to speak forms. I see no one coming forward. I'll close it to the public and bring it back for a motion.
I move approval of staff's recommendation.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Ovid?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, may we have an introduction of item C2, please?
Item C2 is a hearing to consider a resolution to collect existing service charges on property tax bills for county service areas 1, Old Galaxy and Tract 1690 in Napomo, 1A, Galaxy Park and Tract 1898 in Napomo, 1F, New Galaxy in Napomo, and 7A, Oak Shores and 21 Cambria. This is in all districts. This item was introduced on June 7, 2005.
And may we have a staff report, please?
Again, Madam Chair and Honorable Board, for the record, my name is Straith Smith Sinartu with County Public Works Department. This is the second and final routine annual process to place county service area service charges on the tax roll. The Public Works Department is recommending that your board adopt a resolution which establishes the 2005-2006 service charges within certain county service areas and places those service charges on this year's tax roll. The recommended service charges are the same as last year, with the exception of County Service Area 7A, which is Oak Shores, which incorporates a 2.5 inflationary adjustment as per previously adopted rate ordinances. All required public notices have been met. And again, this concludes my staff report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Are there any questions of staff? I see none. I will open it to the public at this time. Is there anyone from the public? I have no request to speak forms, and I see no one from the public coming forward, so I'll close it to the public and bring it back to the board for...
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there a second? May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ovid?
Aye.
Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. With that, we will move on to item C3.
Item C3 is a hearing to consider an appeal by William Hughes of the Administrative Hearing Officer's approval of a request by Karen Kinney to use an existing home as a vacation rental within 200 feet of an existing vacation rental on the same street located in the community of Cambria and the North Coast Planning Area. This is in the 2nd District. Recommendation is for denial of the appeal.
Thank you. May we have a staff report, please?
Good morning, members of the board. Ryan Hostetter, County Planning Staff. If you wouldn't mind, just give me a moment to load up the presentation here.
It picks up.
Thank you. Again, my name is Ryan Hostetter. And I'm going to give a brief bit of background as to how we got here today and then bring up the issues of our appeal and our staff response. Back in April of 2003, the California Coastal Commission approved a modification to the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance with regards to vacation rentals. The modifications included operational standards as well as location standards for the vacation rentals. The location standards are actually the main point of discussion for your board today and the main issues of the appeal today. Basically, when an applicant wants to apply to use their home as a vacation rental, they would come into the Planning and Building Department and apply for a business license. At that point, planning staff would review the application to make sure that it complies with all of the vacation rental ordinance standards, such as parking requirements and the location requirements. Now, the location requirements are for new vacation rentals, we would review the project site and see if there are any other vacation rentals within 200 linear feet within the same block. If there are no other vacation rentals, then they would be issued an over-the-counter business license. If, though, there is a vacation rental within 200 linear feet in the same block, the applicant has a couple options. They can either choose not to use their home as a vacation rental, or there is a they're allowed to apply for a minor use permit to modify this distance requirement. And that brings us to why we're here today. The applicant, Karen Kenny, applied for a minor use permit to modify this 200-foot distance. It went to the Planning Department hearing and was approved on April 15, 2005 by the Administrative Hearing Officer and was shortly after appealed by a neighbor who actually lives directly to the rear of Karen Kenny's home. It was appealed on April 19, 2005. The project is located in the community of Cambria. It's in the Park Hill area. It is located within the residential single-family land use category and is in the North Coast planning area. I'm going to bring up some photos of the property. This is the Kenny home. This is a view from the street. There are at least four parking spaces on site. This is a perspective view of the house. There's a vacant lot directly to the east. I'm going to give a couple views of the street. This is the street looking west. It's has a pretty gentle slope. It's a wide street, and when staff went out to view the site, staff didn't view any issues with regards to on-street parking, traffic, litter, or any of those things when we were out there. I'm going to bring up the major points that Mr. Hughes brought up in his letter for the appeal. The first of which is the distance requirement between the vacation rentals should be measured in a radius rather than just in the 200 linear feet. When the vacation rental ordinance was first heard by your board, there was actually no distance requirement in between the vacation rentals. It then went on to the California Coastal Commission, and based on a lot of community concern, they recommended to the board that we revise the ordinance to include a distance requirement in between the vacation rentals, which brings us to the ordinance as it's adopted today, which states within all residential land use categories, no residential vacation rental shall be located within 200 linear feet of a parcel on the same block on which is located any residential vacation rental. And then it goes on later to say the location standard can be modified through a minor use permit approval when a development plan is not otherwise required. The planning staff has interpreted this linear distance as being on the same side of the street within the block for the main reason that the reason why we have the distance requirement was to satisfy concerns that the neighbors had with relation to parking and trash and those really, staff felt that those were mostly felt on the street rather than people located to the rear, which might be on a different street. The second issue brought up in the appeal is removal of the 200-foot distance requirement with a minor use permit or removal of the minor use permit to modify that standard. Basically, if the minor use permit language was removed to modify it, there's another spot in our ordinance that would allow the applicant to still modify it, but it would be through a development plan to waive the Chapter 8 use standards. So they would still be able to modify that 200-foot distance, and it would be reviewed by the Planning Commission rather than with the minor use permit as it is now. It gets reviewed by the Planning Department. Now, there were other issues that were brought up in the minor use permit hearing by the neighbors, such as water usage, noise of the vacation rentals, parking issues, security issues, litter, and there were more on top of that. Our staff response is that the vacation rental owners are required to submit a property manager to the Planning Department, to the sheriff, to the fire department, and they're always on call. So if a resident does, if a neighbor does find that they're having these issues, that they are to call their either our code enforcement department or the fire or sheriff departments, because they have the contact information for that property management at all times. Staff, with that, staff recommends that your board adopt the resolution denying the appeal and affirming the decision of the administrative hearing officer and conditionally approving the application of Karen Kenny for the minor use permit, coastal development permit, DRC 2004-00158, based on the findings in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B. With that, we're available for questions.
Are there any questions of staff? Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hostetter, if an applicant requests that their residence be used as vacation rental and there are none within 200 feet of that residence, then they can be granted that use with just a business license. Is that correct, as
yes,
I understand it?
That is correct.
Right. And a minor use permit is required when another vacation rental is within 200 feet. What would be a criteria used to deny whether or not an applicant could do it? Are there a total number allowed on a street, or what criteria is used to make that evaluation?
That is a good question, and staff has been reviewing these on a case-by-case basis mainly with going out to viewing the site, making sure that there would be adequate on-street parking for neighbors. And the vacation rental is supposed to keep all their parking on-site, but making sure that there's enough parking for neighbors on the street, the width of the street, the traffic and circulation of that area if there are major traffic problems in that area. And those are the main things that we look at when we go on-site. I asked Nancy Orton is here, who reviews these at our front counter when they come in for the business license, and there might be more criteria that we use.
Good morning, I'm Nancy Orton, and I'm the supervising planner.
Nancy's your mic on. Turn it on the bottom. There you go.
There we go. I'm Nancy Orton. I'm the supervising planner at the Permit Center, and I am the implementor of this ordinance. There is no other criteria at this time other than the location criteria and the pieces of information they have to bring in order to apply for the business license. And so at the Permit Center, we don't go out and view anything. We rely on a site plan and the regulations in the ordinance. If they have two parking spaces on site, on the property, and they get a water letter, and they do a certification that of notifying the neighbors and the other agencies that Ryan mentioned, then they are cleared to get a business license.
Mr. Ashajan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To follow up, Mr. Patterson, do we have a
a way of regulating the number of occupants coming to the site? Because even though you have a number of cars, but the cars can come with numerous passengers, different size vehicles can bring
yes, larger actually, number. We do. The ordinance has a section that talks about the number of occupants allowed. And oh, here it is. And it shall not exceed 2 persons per bedroom plus 2 additional persons.
Thank you.
And that gets printed on the zoning clearance form that goes with every business license that gets issued.
Are there any further questions? With that, we will go to the public. So let me explain how this works for the public. This is an appeal. So the appellant will have 10 minutes to state his or her case. The applicant will have 10 minutes to state his or her case. I will open it to the general public, and the speakers will have 3 minutes each. And then we will bring it back to the applicant for a 5-minute statement or rebuttal of anything that's been said. And then the appellant will have the last 5 minutes. To rebut or make comments on anything that has been said. One of the things I want to comment on is when staff makes an interpretation of an ordinance, that's all it is. It's merely an interpretation of an ordinance. It does not mean that they are evil or anything else. It's just simply an interpretation. So if we will stick to the issues and not make comments regarding staff, it would be very helpful. So Mr. Hughes is the appellant. If Mr. Hughes could come forward to either one of the podia, you're welcome to do whichever. This is fine. And notice the timer on that will let you know about the 10 minutes. That's right. And when the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute to wrap up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, members of the board, for allowing me to be here. My name is William Bill Hughes. I live at 434 Plymouth Street in Cambria. I'm appealing the Planning Department's hearing officer's ruling because the location standard is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance. The intent of the ordinance is spelled out in the purpose section A of the ordinance. And the Board of Supervisors back in 2003 found that vacation rentals have the potential to be incompatible with the surrounding residential uses, especially when several are concentrated in the same area, thereby having the potential for a deleterious effect on the adjacent full-time residents. Special regulations of these uses are necessary to ensure that they will be compatible with the surrounding residential uses and will not act to harm or alter the residential character of the neighborhood. The minor use permit process did not measure the true impact of the project to the neighborhood. The North Coast Advisory Council, which is the voice of the people in the neighborhoods of Cambria, recommended that this minor use permit be denied back in February. The location standard, written in layman terms, is easy to understand, but the problems seem to start when the ordinance gets to the planners because they have to apply legal terms, and the problem here is the definition of a block. Next slide. 427 Cambridge is the applicant's house, and just to the left of it is an existing vacation rental within 50 feet. This is the zone that the ordinance assesses. They only look at one side of the street, and they're talking about blocks. And what I'm really talking about are neighborhoods. If I lived at 427 Cambridge, the neighbors to the right and left of me are very important. The neighbors across the street are just as important, and the neighbors to the rear are vitally important because because they're the closest. Next slide, please. A true assessment in diagram B would include at least both sides of the street. This way, it's a neighborhood, it's not blocks, you can see the true impact. Next slide. The minor use permit process did not measure the true impact to the neighborhood. It must include an in-depth assessment. And what I mean by an in-depth assessment is either a radial assessment that looks at the property and the surrounding neighbors and other vacation rentals in that area. The approval of this minor use permit was inconsistent with the intent of the ordinance because it increased the density of the neighborhood. And this particular minor use permit perpetuates the density problems that already exist. Back when the ordinance was enacted, there were, I believe, around 380 vacation rentals in Cayucos and Cambria, and they were all grandfathered with their clusters, with their density. They were just grandfathered in. Next slide. What I've done here is taken the neighborhood, just Cambridge and Plymouth, and the blue area is the minor use permit impact area. Every property owner within that 300-foot radius of the project was sent a notice of the minor use permit hearing because it impacted their property. In the 300-foot zone, in that blue area, there are 10 existing vacation rentals. With the applicant, it would make 11. The red area is the 200-foot area, and that's the 200-foot zone that is in the ordinance, only they look at it linear and not radially. In that zone, there are 7 existing vacation rentals, and the applicant would make 8. If you just look at a 100-foot radius, and that's not a lot of distance, there are 3 vacation rentals existing. And if you add a 4th, you have a cluster. You have a major cluster. And I think this is the kind of analyzation that has to be done at the minor use permit hearing. There are a number of various methods to use depending on what the county or the cities choose to. But they all look across the street and they all look behind the project because it impacts the neighborhood, and that's what we're talking about. Next slide, please. My conclusions are that the minor use permit ruling did not measure the true impact of the project to the neighborhood. It only assessed the small section that we looked at in diagram A. The minor use permit does not support the ordinance's intent to not harm or alter a small area of the neighborhood. I think that speaks for itself. The location standard does not totally assess the impact of the project. It only looks at one side of the street, not the other side of the street, and not to the rear. Next slide, please. And I'm requesting the Board of Supervisors to approve this appeal and deny the minor use permit, to direct staff to enact a location standard that provides a block definition of a neighborhood to include both sides of the street, and to direct staff to include an in-depth assessment at the time of the minor use permit hearing, which balances the pendulum between neighborhood and the rights of due process and the economic needs of the applicant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Mr. Hughes? I see no lights, so thank you very much, and you will have 5 minutes at the end. Is Ms. Kinney here? Karen Kinney?
Good morning. I'm the opposition.
And you can pull that microphone down closer. Thank you.
I'm Karen Kenny, and I would like to explain to you how I intend to be a very good neighbor in the neighborhood and not impact either Bill or anybody else there. I intend to own that house for a very long time, and I would hope that we can all be very good friends. So I'd like to start there. I've been coming to this area for over 40 years. I've spent a great deal of time here. My sister has a vacation rental on Marine Terrace. many years she's had that. The lot she's owned probably for 25 years. I'm a very stable creature. I've lived in my same home in San Jose for 30 years, same neighbors, and a very good community. So I believe I am bringing something to the neighborhood that would be positive. This, as we've seen before, is the front of my house. It does have ample parking. It is very well maintained. It's a large house, and people are not going to congregate in one simple area. The deck is in the front of the house. Any of the noise that would be taking place out there would be simply on the front. The history you've heard, I don't believe that anyone on my street opposed the rental directly. Mr. Hughes is not within the 200 linear feet as the law stands currently. As far as noise levels, I've done a lot of studying of that over the last few months as I go there, and what I find are that the noise levels, first of all, are not very high at any particular time. And whether someone lives in the house or someone is a vacation rental, I actually see vacation rentals as being more quiet. People are coming there for a romantic, restful time, and they're paying very good money for that. They're more interested in tea on the porch than they are in raucous parties. I don't think the town lends itself to that sort of thing. I know in the earlier hearing that Bill brought up about having garbage cans on the curb isn't an annoyance. I have a garbage or a landscaping service that comes once a week to make sure there are no garbage cans out there and everything is kept very tidy. I intend to maintain that. I will live in there and I want to make sure it stays in the condition it is right now. From the opposite side, I feel it's much better to have the house occupied because certainly when I'm up in San Jose, I worry about gas leaks or some kind of electrical fires, and I think they would be far better served if I knew about them right away by a property manager caring for the house. This, I wanted to pictorially show you how the house looks. This is the back of my house. There are simply no windows that face onto Bill's property. The entire back, top and bottom there, it's just wall. There is one tiny room, and we'll see that in a minute. This is the backyard between the two of us. And again, we're fenced with quite a high fence all the way around, which I can't see over. I'm not very big. But I certainly couldn't see Bill over there. And frankly, I really don't see them at all. Very rarely do I hear them. Now, this is the only room that looks over toward Bill's house. This is probably 5 feet wide. You can see the walls on both sides. There is no furniture in it at the moment. The major windows face directly to the ocean where most people would be looking. It's going to be a meditation room, so there will be nothing in there but a bench, some small stools to sit on or pillows, and nothing else. It's not meant for sitting there gazing at the neighbors or having parties out there. This is looking up at Bill's house from inside my house. And again, he's got very high walls on his patio, and there is no way to see anything other there than perhaps ahead. From my standpoint, I don't see that having the rentals there will be a negative impact to the neighborhood. With the property management company there, my feeling is if there is any kind of a problem where the neighbors feel that people within the home for vacation rental are being raucous or discourteous to the neighbors, then they should be asked to leave. I don't have a problem with that. On my street, I've been very, and Bill's street, I've walked up and down several times to see the density and whether it makes any issue. I was there over the 4th of July. And what I observed over the 4th of July was one family on the entire street that was having a party, and they owned the house. The rentals were inside. I didn't even see them outside a great deal of the time. I've owned that house for, it was the year last March, I believe, and I find it an extremely quiet neighborhood, an extremely nice neighborhood, and I certainly want to be a contributor to that. So I respectfully request approval of my minor use permit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of Ms. Kenny? I see none, so I have this little thing here. I'm not staring off into space. So thank you very much. Thank you. You'll have an opportunity to make a statement after the rest of the public comment. Okay. I will open it to the public, and I will call two names. The first person gets a choice of which one to go to. The second person will go to the alternate one and wait. And that way we don't have to wait for people to walk forward. So the first person is Martin Verhey, followed by Rod Lippold.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm Martin Verhey of Cambria. I'm speaking for many Cambria residents who could not attend, but have written to you and to Ryan Hostetter. We support this appeal and are vigorously opposed to the permit approval of 427 Cambridge Street Vacation Rental. The full North Coast Advisory Council is on record in support of this appeal. Hopefully, you are able to review the enlarged situation map of all Cambria approved vacation rentals, which was forwarded to you. Many vacation rentals not in compliance with the prevailing ordinance were grandfathered in over the objection of more than 552 petitioners. The minor use permit process before you today is being used to perpetuate non-compliance of the ordinance rules. Targeted residential neighborhoods of Cambria are overrun with some 220 vacation rentals, plus at least 15 B&Bs and homestays. Home sales and resales are now being marketed with recently acquired vacation rental permits. The state law zoning, protected character maintenance, and life quality of our residential neighborhoods is being ignored, exposing the county to liabilities. In September 1998, this board submitted to the presiding judge of the Superior Court their compliance with the 1997-98 grand jury findings. This included that the meaning and intent of the ordinance must be clear and non-interpretative. But again, injurious to the residents, this ordinance intent is thwarted and misinterpreted. Rentals are allowed to face each other across the street or back to back without any spacing restrictions. Neighborhood notification requirements use a 300 feet radius circle reflecting the true ordinance impact intent. To quote the grand jury, to ensure that the permanent residents in single-family zones are not overly impacted. Exactly the opposite is current reality. The further impact of the minor use permit request is incredible. In view of the foregoing facts and the strong objections forwarded by Cambrian residents, I move in favor of the appeal and against the minor use permit approval. Furthermore, that a moratorium be placed on any future minor use permit applications until an appropriate legal overview of the vacation rental ordinance has taken place. And that includes establishment of standards for legal compliance with character protection of residential neighborhoods in the presence of vacation rentals. Thank you.
Well, that was timing. Thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Lippold, followed by Jesse Arnold.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. Rod Lippold, 395 Plymouth Street, Cambria. I live just across the street, just a little toward the ocean from the appellant.
I have a corner of my property that is within about 200 feet of the applicant. Of course, it's a different street. My comments are going to be related mostly to character of the neighborhood. There's no mistake about it. The vacation rentals are business. The design is for business. The real estate people are able to process properties, and the basis, it increases the value, so to speak, to prospective buyers who want to get into the property, maybe not move into it right away, but to put it up and have business. Character of the neighborhood is changing. I'm one of the longer-term residents on Plymouth, but I do go up and down Cambridge, too. And there are a couple of the nicest streets in Cambria. And what is happening, like this morning, I come down the street to come here. There are 13 refuse barrels already out in the street for tomorrow pickup, which is Wednesday for us. Most of those have been there since Sunday night. Since the hearing back in April, someone has been appointed to come around and take care of that, so to speak, by the vacation rental management. It's helped some. And coming down the street today and for the last couple of days, the two people have rented the vacation rental nearly across the street from me. They have six dogs. I saw them go in and out. Okay, the same piece of property 2 weeks ago was rented. There were 15 people at least. My wife thinks they were 20 that were living there. Two cars on the driveway, because SUVs, that's all it can handle. Six on the street. The post office will not deliver our mail when the cars are blocking the access to the postal people. The neighborhood is definitely changing. We're going from a lovely, beautiful residential area now into more one by one, a new vacation rental. One in the last 6 or 8 months, just to my north. This is the applicant's going to be behind Mr. Hughes. He already had one on the north side. He now has one recently across the street. I understand there's a review of the ordinance perhaps coming up in September. Maybe some of these things should be attended to. But it's definitely changing the neighborhood. We can't complain to our friends who are the management people. You get a bad reputation doing that. So you try to take care of things yourself. It's putting the trash barrels back or putting them out in the street when the time comes. But this is a type of thing that I think should be considered. Character of the neighborhood is very important. Are we going to retain Cambria like it used to be or should be, or are we going to maybe turn it into simply a business activity for renting? And some of these units are rented one night, two nights, some more. Thank you.
Your time is up. Thank you very much. Jesse Arnold, followed by John DiNicola.
Thank you, Chairman Bianchi and members of the board. My name is Jesse Arnold. I live in Cambria. I'm here to support the appeal. And the previous speakers, Martin and other people, did a lot of work to get an ordinance. And now this squeezing these things under minor use permits, that's just totally destroying the ordinance. That's ridiculous. Let's have some enforcement of the ordinance. The properties may be well managed. Everything may be hunky-dory. But to have a neighborhood, you have to have neighbors, real neighbors, people who live there. And that's what's being destroyed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I have one request to speak form for two people. Do you want to have 3 minutes for yourself or a minute and a half for each of you? Oh, he can have all 3 minutes. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Nicola.
I'm John DiNicola.
Followed by Richard Watkins.
Okay. I live in 601 Plymouth in Cambria. I'm in favor of this assessment to show the bill showed the various diameters and certainly should have some consideration for people who live in back of you. In my particular house, I don't have that problem, but there are people who live back to back, and there's almost spitting distance from one house to another. And when they are rented back to back like that, it's awful. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much. Mr. Watkins, followed by Nancy Lockman.
Good morning. I'm Richard Watkins. I've been a Cayucas businessman since 1987, and I was the president of the Central Coast Management Association from 1996 through 2004. First, I want to commend the members of county staff, particularly Nancy Orton, for skillful and diligent implementation of a rather complex ordinance and licensing process with lots of paperwork. And they've effectively communicated with those who manage the vacation rentals, realtors, members of the public, and it's been a good effort on their part. And thanks to the good faith efforts of county and the management companies, the owners, and the vacationers, complaints remain rare, and data are now available to track the vacation rental business, which wasn't the case before. We're beginning to get good data. There are familiar faces in the crowd here and familiar arguments stated in the strangely generic appeal that seems more focused at changing the LCP than it does addressing this specific property. All these issues have been debated for over 8 years at advisory councils, workshops, planning commission meetings, board of supervisors meetings, and the Coastal Commission. The initial vacation rental ordinance applications were due less than 19 months ago. So I'd emphasize that the vacation rental ordinance arose as a reasonably balanced solution to a complex situation following extensive debate, and I would respectfully ask that the ordinance be given a chance to serve the purpose that it was intended to. And finally, I would ask you to respect the staff recommendation today to deny the appeal. The appeal doesn't address the specific property in question. And also, you know, keep focused on if you want to fine-tune the MUP hearing process. This is the first one, as you all know. Maybe some of the crowd does not know. This is the first minor use permit that's been. There's more in the pipeline. That process can be adjusted. But give the ordinance a chance to do its job. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Nancy Lockman, followed by, and I think it's Joan Ulenga.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Commission. And thank you, Martin, for speaking on a lot of our residents' behalf. I'm very nervous. I'm not a public speaker.
We don't bite people.
I'm just scared because I don't want repercussions.
You won't.
But I am, my quality of life is getting ruined. I have a rental unit next door to me, and I have a rental unit behind me. They have been occupied 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because the owners are allowed to have friends as well as vacationers. I drove down Highway 1. All the hotels in San Simeon had vacancies. The hotels on Moonstone Beach had vacancies. But yet, the homes behind me and next to me, like I say, have been occupied. I feel the loopholes in the rules that allow them to have friends almost defeat the purpose. I hear it's supposed to work on an honor system. Well, when it comes to money, I don't feel that that's they coincide. I also feel that there is no such 24-hour on-call service. The jacuzzi next to me has had people in it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've had cigarette butts on the side of my house on my property. When I call at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a female dispatcher from the San Luis Obispo office, and she asks me if this is an emergency. Well, of course. It's not an emergency with them in the jacuzzi. When I get fed up and call someone out, the lights are off and they're back inside. So I feel like a fool. And I tried to talk to the owners, my husband and I. We've tried to deal with the real estate or the property management company, and they do nothing. And I feel they have all the rights. You know, they get more and more rights, and we have none. I work there. I volunteer there. I vote there. But yet, I have to put up with commercial traffic in a residential area, and I just don't understand. What are the hotels for if they're not going to be? Why is the residential area picking up all of the commercial traffic? I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And I feel you cannot control the vacationer. You say they're there to relax, then why are they renting a place with a kitchen and a washer and a dryer and everything else? It's not to rest and relax. They're bringing families. They're partying. The house next to me is the partiest place in Cambria. They have a jacuzzi right next to my bedroom. So you cannot control a vacationer as much as you think you can. Two people in a bedroom. How do you know? How can I prove it? I can't prove it to you. So, of course, I am in support and in favor of the appeal.
Thank you very much for your comment. We don't do that here. Thank you for your comments. Joan Ulenga, and that's my last request to speak for.
My name is Joan Ubengay. I live at 374.
Sorry about that.
Pardon?
Sorry about mispronouncing your name.
It's okay. I live at 375 Fallbrook in Cambria, and I do live in a neighborhood with vacation rentals also. I will be the property management if the business license is approved for Karen Kenny's home on Cambridge. All of the owners I work with are good neighbors in the community and really work hard to keep their houses clean, looking good, to keep the garbage taken care of. They purchase homes here so they can eventually move here, and renting their house helps them with some of the expenses. They definitely contribute to the economy of our county, as do the people who come here. We hear from the property managers, hear from neighbors all the time. And I know Rod said he didn't like to call, and I can understand that too. But that is helpful to us because we can go out and take care of what's going on. I'm asking that you do approve Karen's request for a business license. This is the first one, and I think she showed from her pictures that it probably would be applicable to a good vacation rental in the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. That completes the public comment part. So now we will go back to the applicant. Ms. Kenny, you have 5 minutes to respond if you wish. You don't need to, but you can if you wish. And then, Mr. Hughes, you will have 5 minutes.
I think it is appropriate to bring up.
And you still have to give your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Karen Kenny. Is it okay to go? I think it is appropriate to talk about what happens with vacation rentals, and I'm sure we're all going to hear horror stories. And I think that the important part in managing vacation rentals is what the intent is. Whether it's a home that you cherish and you want to take care of, that there's a community you plan to be a part of, and that you won't tolerate that sort of thing in the house. Well, that is my home. I will be living there. I do care about my neighbors a great deal. And I would expect that if there are any issues in my home, which I don't think there will be, but if there are, that they will be dealt with immediately. I don't want that impact to the neighborhood. I don't want to be a negative impact. I want them to want to see me when I come. Other than that, I really don't think this particular rental is going to have an impact to the community at all. I hope I've convinced you that I am a good neighbor, and that I respectfully, again, request that that my request be approved and the appeal be denied.
And does that conclude your comments?
I think so.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Hughes, you have 5 minutes if you wish to respond.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is the first case of a minor use permit being used to circumvent the location standard in the ordinance, and it's a very important case. Right now, I know two other cases that are in the pipeline waiting to find out the result of this case here today, and I think there might be a third.
Staff mentioned that we didn't have a location ordinance, a location standard prior to the enactment of this ordinance. And when I think about if this minor use permit is allowed to circumvent the location standard, do we really have a location standard? We're right back where we were before. If all you have to do is file for a minor use permit to get a vacation rental license, we don't have a location standard. We need to have a location standard with some bite in it. We need to do research. We have to measure the impact of the project. We just can't look at the single project on one side of the street. We have to look at it in terms of neighborhoods. I acknowledge and I understand the economic importance of vacation rentals to both the applicant and to the community. I also acknowledge and understand the importance of due process and the property rights. But I also acknowledge the density of vacation rentals affect the character of residential neighborhoods. The legitimate interest of residents in preserving the character of their neighborhoods should outweigh the legitimate economic needs of the community. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. With that, we'll close it to any of the public and bring it back to the board for comments. Mr. Ovitt?
Thank you. I just had a couple of questions. Now, the first one is when, and I remember going through all this thing with this ordinance, so. And the Coastal Commission made the recommendation for a distance. Is it not my understanding that when we got done with that, we have to send it back to the Coastal Commission for their approval so that that piece of the pie of the distance was approved by the Coastal Commission?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Ovitt, Cammie Griffin, County Planning Department. Ryan asked me to be here as she asked Nancy as the implementer of the ordinance. She asked me to be here as the drafter of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. So I can probably provide the best in the way of history on this ordinance. Originally, when the idea of an ordinance came before your board for authorization, from the workshops that were held in the communities, there were a number of issues that were raised. And the idea of proximity or location restricting numbers was one of those issues. Your board at that time chose to not go forward with any kind of location standard when the ordinance was drafted. There was concern that there were so many in the communities already that placing an artificial limit on the numbers didn't make much difference. And so that was really the board at that time's thinking when the original ordinance was drafted. That ordinance was then sent to Coastal Commission for their review, as is required because it was an amendment to the local coastal plan. The Coastal Commission raised a number of issues. One of those issues was this proximity issue, the concept of, well, wait a minute, we should only allow so many in an area. In response to that, county staff prepared language that ultimately developed into the language that you see in the ordinance. The way the language was originally written and presented to the coastal staff was just that no vacation rental be located within 500 feet of any other vacation rental. In evaluating that with coastal staff, we realized that because of the small block sizes in both Cayucas and Cambria where this ordinance applies, that wasn't a very easily implementable standard. And so what it actually evolved to was this very specific language of 200 linear feet of a parcel on the same block. That actually was specific language that was added to make that standard more easily implementable and more easily understood. That language was ultimately approved by the Coastal Commission. They send their approval then back to the county, and your board has to acknowledge that approval. And upon your acknowledgement, that's when the ordinance goes into effect. I did want to mention that the minor use permit in itself has criteria, and those are the findings that the decision makers have to make. So really what you're looking at, though there's not specific criteria, as there sometimes is in ordinances that say
if you're on a collector, then you can, your minor use permit can be approved or something like that. You're really looking at whether the use is detrimental to the health, safety, and welfare of the persons residing in the neighborhood, whether it's consistent with the neighborhood, and whether the road can handle the traffic. Those are truly the criteria that you're looking at when evaluating a minor use permit. If you don't feel as the decision makers in this case, this particular instance, you can do that, you can make those findings, then that's when a denial of a minor use permit would happen. So it's not just a matter of applying for a permit and getting it approved. Those findings have to be made.
But the answer is the Coastal Commission approved this language. Along with a minor use permit.
Correct.
That was a yes, I got.
And you acknowledged it as the board.
That's what I was trying to confirm. Second question I have, and the last one I have, was timeshare included in vacation rental? I don't think timeshare.
No,
it was not.
See, timeshare is a whole different thing. And I know there's a lot of people that are doing that with their homes now that they do a lot of that. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question for staff. How is the minor use permit process used to override a condition, in this case, the location proximity issue of 200 feet?
Ryan Hostetter, County Planning Staff. There's a section in the location standard for the vacation rentals that it's states specifically that you are allowed to modify this location standard with the application or the approval of a minor use permit. So if I'm hearing your question right.
Are there any other comments? Then I will make mine. This has been a really hot issue for me ever since I was elected. I think it arose at the same time. One of the difficulties Cambria has relative to the Coastal Commission is that Cambria has what's called a visitor serving overlay on a lot of it, and so the Coastal Commission doesn't perceive of Cambria as a community, a residential community. It looks at Cambria as a tourist serving destination, actually. And this is one of the difficulties we have with the Coastal Commission, and I have not liked this for years, but that's the way it goes. The people, both in Cambria and Cayucas, at the advisory councils, we go to the advisory council meetings, and we have the deputy sheriffs who come in and say, if you see people in your neighborhood that you don't recognize, just keep track of those people, because if there's any crime or anything, then you can identify them later. Well, so the people in Cambria are getting double messages. You know, the message, it's all right to have vacation rentals, but you can't have people in your neighborhood that you don't recognize. And it makes it very difficult. So you can tell that I have a real problem with vacation rentals. And I also have a problem with, and I've discussed this with staff, they know my feeling on this one. The 200 linear feet doesn't say which direction. It doesn't say east, west, north, or south. So that the 200 linear feet can be a radius without changing the ordinance. It merely is reinterpreting the 200 linear feet. And that makes a tremendous difference in the quality of the neighborhood. And we really do need to look at the quality of our neighborhoods. We talk about crime, we talk about all sorts of things, and then at the same time, break down that social fabric. And I understand with the price of housing in Cambria why people would want a vacation rental, why they would want to own a home and have it be a vacation rental. But by virtue of the fact that it is a vacation rental, the owner isn't living in it. because it's a vacation rental. And the owner may have wonderful, great intentions, but they're not there. And I also find it ironic that, you know, one of the speakers today said, well, he hesitates calling because if you call continually, then you're kind of identified, oh, well, there goes that person again, where actually they may have a legitimate complaint, so they don't call. But without that paper trail, it makes it really very difficult to track which vacation rentals are not being used correctly. I would like, if I could make a motion, I'll just phrase it this way. If I could make a motion, the motion I would make would be to a tentative motion to uphold the appeal and to direct staff to reinterpret the 200 linear feet to be 200 radius linear feet, east, west, north, and south. That's what I would do if I could make the motion, but as chair, I can't make that motion. Supervisor Lenthal and then Supervisor Patterson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I had one additional question of staff. What is the process, since this is the first, I guess, minor use permit we've issued here, for the checks and balances? I mean, if there is a problem that would come back through you after someone contacted the Sheriff's Department, after they contacted the property owner or the property management firm, to say, on a case-by-case basis, because there's vacation rentals and there's vacation rentals, to address the concerns of the neighborhood, because to me, and I'll go back to my previous life in law enforcement here in the city of San Luis Obispo, the issue of rentals, of students, of noise, of parties and things like that can actually overwhelm a neighborhood. So I'm very sensitive to that. But on the other hand, I don't want to necessarily or unduly penalize someone if they are a responsible landlord that's trying to work within the system or the structure that we have to ensure that they have good tenants and that the people don't cause problems in the neighborhood. So I'm curious, have we had any experience with that, with staff, where someone has complained about a problem location to where we've either revoked somebody's permit or we've had some type of administrative hearing?
Cammie Griffin, County Planning. We have not actually had enough complaints on a single property that staff has gone off after revocation. However, that is exactly the process that we would use. Both a business license and this minor use permit approval could be revoked in the case where the management company wasn't complying with the ordinance. They made their complaints to the sheriff. The sheriff was getting repetitive complaints. We would open up an enforcement case and then go for revocation of either the business license or the minor use permit and take away the ability to continue the use.
Thank you.
Yeah, turn off your mute button. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The concern I have regarding the vacation rentals is density. I think if we get too many of them in a neighborhood, then it does change the character and quality of the neighborhood. Question to staff, page C3 in the report, the paragraph under staff response where you talk about the interpretation and using the 200 lineal feet rule, you state that it is in the same block, which to me does mean basically in the same block, but you wouldn't measure across the street, but you could measure in either direction down the street and certainly behind you, because that house would be in that block. And Chairperson Bianchi raised the issue of using a radial determination. With the language that exists, is that possible to do, or do we have to go back and revisit this and make a change?
You're correct. The language in the ordinance is very specific. It does mention in the same block, but you are also correct in that a block is fronts two streets. Mm-hmm. So you could measure 200 lineal feet this way and this way.
That would keep a house. That would keep a house from being surrounded by, I mean, a residence from being surrounded by vacation rentals.
That's absolutely correct.
One of the speakers in public comment mentioned that this is coming up for review in September. Is that correct? Is that planned?
The ordinance was adopted. The resolution included a provision that the ordinance come back for a review 2 years after its adoption. So September would be 2 years after its implementation, actually, since it took a while to get through Coastal Commission. So staff will be bringing you back a report on numbers of vacation rentals, where they are. You'll see mapping, how many minor use permits have been processed, how many business licenses have been issued, that kind of information.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I would
Mr. Ovid has a... Oh. And then you can make a motion. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ovid?
Yeah. I'm getting confused by everybody's wanting to redefine what linear means, and that is in a line. It's not a radius. It did not say radius. It is a linear line. But I think the overriding issue here is when you go look at the findings in staff, when they actually go out and look at the neighborhood, they go out and look at what the surrounding situation is more specific than what is written on the paper. And in this case, I think staff did look at it. Staff saw that there would not be an issue considering the other vacation rentals within the area. And that has to be as much of an issue with this as to whether it's linear or radial, but it does say linear and it's not radius.
It doesn't say radius, but neither does it say that the linear has to be up and down the street. You know, it could be at an angle. But I would refer everyone, and I'm sorry, maybe you can get it on the overhead. You're talking about the density in a neighborhood. Page 55 of our staff report has a map of the density of it's going up. Oh, okay. And it really is sort of startling when you see it. Okay. You know, the number of vacation rentals there are in this area, and you notice that the closer you get to the ocean, the denser the number of vacation rentals. And I have one other comment. We've received a lot of correspondence, and I had a request from one lady in Cambria, Lila Evans, to make sure that her correspondence is in the record, and it is. And then we've talked about the map. And so, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Despite the wording in the ordinance, I think the intent of the ordinance is to keep the density of vacation rentals in a neighborhood to a level where it doesn't adversely impact the quality of the neighborhood for the permanent residents. And in all due respect to Ms. Kenny, I'm sure she would be an excellent neighbor. I do feel that at this point, I would like to make an tentative motion to uphold the appeal and ask staff to come back to the board with findings that would be appropriate.
That's a tentative motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion.
Yes. Discussion?
If we're going to bring this back in September, why don't we combine our efforts and just make it happen all together at one time?
Well, the appeal has to be done today, but the 200 linear feet discussion can be when it comes back in September.
There is a tentative motion to postpone the decision for staff to come back with a revised language. Mm-hmm. And I think the September meeting will serve that purpose. And can we combine the efforts to bring it back that and fix it for good?
Well, we need an action on the appeal today.
Well, your tentative motion is going to bring back something, so that isn't going to happen today unless staff can do that today, and they're saying no. So it is going to come back at a future meeting date, and the motion needs to be amended to include what that date is.
Can I offer something here? The thing is, Mr. Asajjan, if you wait to September, the only thing I can see at this particular point, you're going to discuss whether it be radial or linear. But the other issue is that you still have the condition that allows you to apply for within those distances by use of a minor use permit or development plan to put a unit in. So this person followed the rules. So it doesn't make any difference whether it's a radial or not. The minor use permit is what is saying, can I have this put within this neighborhood?
Yeah,
so all the investigation I talked about was done based on that minor use permit.
Okay, but there are two separate issues. The first one is the appeal. The second one is the discussion.
Appeal, I don't think should wait.
Excuse me, the discussion can come back in September. You know, I would be happy with that. We still need to deal with the appeal today, and there's a motion on the floor. And Mr. Patterson?
I was just going to comment that I think there are two separate issues here. There's this specific appeal, and then there's the broader discussion about what we do with the ordinance down the road.
And that can come back in September with... I didn't realize it was so soon. Okay, this is a voice vote.
I still need a date that this is being continued to. I'm sorry.
I don't know how
much time do you need? No, I can't come back next week.
Excuse me, Matt Jansen, are you asking how much time we need to come back with findings for denial?
Yes.
30 days.
30?
Well, there is time on either the 9th or the 16th of August.
16th.
Okay. So is that okay with the motion maker and second?
If it has to be that far, okay.
Yes.
Is that okay with the second?
Yes.
Okay. May we have a voice vote, please? All in favor? Yes.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. With that,
Madam Chair, I realize that during the discussion in September for the status report that staff will be bringing back, that we'll probably receive direction then as to whether we should be reinterpreting the existing language or proposing a rewrite. I guess my question would be, would your board like to give us direction between now and then? Because we do have them continuing to come in.
Well, that, okay. If someone would like to make a motion to direct staff to...
I don't think you can do that because the ordinance is on the books now and you'd have to make some kind of action and it would have to be, by the Brown Act, have to be put on the agenda.
See, that was my whole
Mr.
purpose.
Lindholm is frantically reaching for the microphone.
I think that's correct. I think the issue of the language in the ordinance and how it would be interpreted is something that you should be considering in your review in September. And if you wanted to move it up, you certainly could put it on the agenda before then. But that's really not appropriate in considering this appeal. You should consider this appeal based upon both the standard and the findings that you have to make. And when you made the motion and approved the motion, refer to staff, those findings will come back talking about not only the distance, but about all the findings you'd have to make with respect to impact on the neighborhood. But the issue of the distance and how it's interpreted is most appropriately considered as an agended item either in September, or if you want to consider it at an earlier date, put it on the agenda before that.
We can put the directions to staff. Can we put the phrase it as a question? Can we put the direction to staff on the August 16th hearing date?
If they're able to do so.
Or is that too soon? Or a discussion of it? We can.
Madam Chair, I specifically asked the question because I wanted to make sure the public knew that staff was going to continue to interpret it the same way, that we didn't have the ability to change directions midstream. So I think it's coming back. I think you'll give us that direction in September.
No, the question I was asking, can we put on the agenda for August 16th the subject of direction to staff as to how to interpret it?
No.
Well, I think this is a continued hearing to a date certain, so we would have to re-notice, and I don't think that
Yeah, that wouldn't
fits.
Work either. Okay. Okay, we will review the 200...
Madam Chair...
linear feet in September.
If you're concerned with simply the issue of measurement, you could put it on the 16th as a separate agenda item, separate from this appeal if you wanted to. But the question then would be, would that give staff adequate time to prepare to discuss the issue and consider it? The board could give direction on the 16th as to what you wanted in terms of the full hearing that you're going to have in September. Matt was correct that it wouldn't be part of this particular appeal. When this appeal comes back on the 16th, you're going to act on this appeal, but there's nothing prohibiting you from having a separate agenda item to talk about the ordinance in general and what standard to apply.
Okay, and with that, can you do that, Mr. Jansen? Ms. Griffith?
If all your board is really interested in is a discussion of simply how to measure that
linear
part
feet
of the ordinance, then we could bring back that discussion. But that wouldn't be enough time to prepare all of the mapping and numbers and everything for the full report. That would have to happen in September. But if you're interested in just a discussion of how to measure, we could bring that back as a separate item.
But we couldn't take action on it.
No.
Okay, so that's pointless. So let's go to September. Okay. With that, concludes our morning session. We had to have a tentative motion because our staff report recommendation was for denial of the appeal. The tentative motion was to uphold the appeal, and staff has to come back then. Our staff then has to prepare findings, we call it, to support the motion, the tentative motion. And so we will have the final motion on August 16th. Does that explain what we did? For those of you who aren't used to our convoluted way of thinking about things. Okay. With that, we will go into closed session shortly. Is there staff? That must have been Mr. Lindholm. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to address the board on any closed session item? Yes, Mr. Wynn.
Mike Wynn, director of the Napomo Community Services District. I notice on your possible subjects for discussion in closed session that you have the case of NCSD versus the County of San Luis Obispo. And I only offer to say that I appreciate the negotiations that are going on between your staff and ours and legal counsel for both. We do feel that the water issues in Napomo are serious issues. We appreciate both what the planning is doing in terms of trying to design a planning overlay that makes sense out of the entire area. And I would encourage you to do everything you can to keep both those processes going ahead so we can settle this out of court and do things rationally and sensibly. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comments. With that, we will go into closed session in 15 minutes, which makes it what time? Well, let's say 10 o'clock. That makes it 20 minutes. At 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we will go into closed session, and we will return here at 2 this afternoon.
Are you going to meet closed session upstairs?
No. Oh, I don't...